You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, a great tasting, healthy protein bar. You can get $10 off your first box at BuiltBar.com with the promo code Locked On. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, closing out the week with my buddy Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, how are you doing?
Hey, Vince, I am doing all right. Nothing to write home about, but who writes letters these days anyway, right?
Yeah, not a lot of people. But, yeah, Jeff, we are closing out the week, and we have come to the conclusion of the what-ifs portion of our content calendar week. We're going to have a big what-if on the show today, which you'll have to wait about, and then we'll get into the Dodgers Zoom and a quick note on their potential award the Dodgers might win. But before we get into that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so before we get into the Zoom, the Dodgers were named a finalist by ESPN for the Sports Humanitarian Team of the Year, recognized for their official charity, the Dodgers Foundation. Jeff, you got anything on that for the finalist talk?
No, not really. It's cool that Dodgers Foundation does a lot of good work, and so it's cool to see them potentially recognized for that. A lot of good going on with the Dodgers.
Yeah, we've seen it with the Dodgers Foundation. We've seen it with individual players and their foundations, Clayton Kershaw and Justin Turner and Kenley Jansen. And, those guys have all done stuff, and there's been other guys that have gone and done stuff in their hometowns or even in L.A., kind of, kicking off their charitable donation to the world. So it's good. The Dodgers have had a good run of some good guys in recent years, and now they're just getting recognized as a whole for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yasiel Puig started his foundation with the Dodgers. Like you said, a lot of good charitable Dodgers, and just another thing to make us proud to be Dodger fans.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so the Dodgers had the Zoom party in Spanish on Thursday night, and it was Pepe Niguez and Jorge Harin kind of hosting, and then it was Fernando, Kike, Julio, Adrian, Edwin Rios, Bruzdar Gratterall, Alana Rizzo, and Jaime Harin, and the Dodgers, he used to be a translator, and I think he's part of the PR team, Jesus Quiñones. And yeah, this one, Jeff, you did not get to watch it, right?
I didn't. I had family stuff going on.
Yeah, so this one was pretty much how I would want the regular Dodgers one to go. A lot of focus on what the players had to say and kind of, finding out things about them that maybe we didn't know. They kicked it off. Pepe started by introducing everyone very, very well with detailed introductions. So that was fun. And then they kind of got into – so I got to see the beginning, about the first 30 minutes or so. This one actually went an hour and a half. So I got to see about the first 30 minutes or so and about the last 20-ish minutes. I had a FaceTime call in the middle of it for a birthday. But it was fun. And, we found out maybe a couple things that we didn't know about some guys. Julio Urias had an anecdote about how he got to play in a game with his grandfather and father all on the same field, probably just a pickup game or a Mexican adult league, but they were catcher, pitcher, and Julio was playing first base. He found out why he wears number 7, because of a player that he used to watch growing up down, I would imagine, on the Tomateros, the team in Culiacan, or maybe just playing in the out there in the Sunday leagues or whatever they have. Bruzdar Gratterall, they went through and asked everyone how they got to the big, or how they, you know, their path to the big leagues, or how they fell in love with baseball. And Bruce Dar Gratterall's, he said his dad played, but his dad played softball. So in some of these other countries, it's not really the prominent here. I haven't seen it, but there are men's fast pitch leagues, and that's I know I have a couple cousins that used to play in it. And so Bruce Dar Gratterall's dad played fast pitch men's softball. Then he said his mom and his grandma used to play on the same team as well when they were younger. So he came up watching, you know, baseball, softball, pretty much his whole life. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, everyone just kind of went through. Jaime Jarin went through and had some of his favorite Dodgers over the years. You know, he's been with the team, 61? This would have been a 62nd year. So he had it all broken down by decades. Early on, Willie Davis was one of his favorites. He said that Willie kind of really helped him out. Took him under his wing a little, I guess you should say. I've been getting used to the way of the major leagues, and would buy him or take him out to lunch or dinner a couple times a week. And then just throughout the years, he had, you know, Koufax and Kershaw and Hershiser and Adrian Gonzalez and Nomar Garciaparra. He had a bunch of guys to talk to and had nice things to say. But all in all, it was fun. You know, you got to hear a lot of the players. I hope the Dodgers release the video tomorrow so I can watch the parts I missed. But yeah, it was pretty entertaining. I liked it.
So from your mindset as a Spanish speaker, you know, you've got Kike and Rios are Puerto Rican, Julio and Fernando are Mexican, Adrian is, you know, Mexican but of a slightly different sort than them. I think Jaime Jarin was Panamanian. Is he from Panama originally?
Yeah, I believe so.
Was, and then Gratterall's Venezuelan, and Alana is, you know, basically kind of like you, an American who speaks some Spanish. Did you pick up on anything accent wise or communication wise, slang wise, or anything? Or did it seem like they all speak close enough to the same Spanish that they get along just fine?
I didn't pick up anything from the parts I saw. It was funny because, you know, Kike and Rios, Puerto Rican, but Kike gave Rios kind of made fun of him a little bit since he was born in Puerto Rico, but I guess he moved out pretty early. So he didn't want to call him his brother, I guess, whatever the term was. He called him more of a neighbor than anything. But no, I mean, none of the guys, I guess Puerto Rican, Edwin Rios and Kike, they could have spoke a little bit different. They speak a little faster and have a little bit more slang, but nothing really stood out to me, at least. And Bruce Dar Gratterall, you know, to where Julio's from, they usually speak a little slower, so he's fine. And Aegon as well, and everyone else. So nothing really too crazy in terms of differentiating. Now, if they would have had, you know, like Puig back when he was on the Dodgers, and it would have been a different story.
Yeah, Puig, his Spanish was, and part of it was his voice too. Just, he's kind of a mumbler, or a, you know, kind of that low growling voice, and except when he's excited, then it's super high. So, well, that's cool. I wish I had gotten to see it.
Yeah. Hopefully they have another one, and hopefully they kind of take a little bit of that structure to the English one, because they, you know, you get to highlight the players and let them speak a little more. So I like that. All right, we're going to come back and do the biggest what if that we had on our plate. But let's talk about Built Bar real quick. Built Bars are great tasting. We've said it a lot, but that's kind of the big selling point. You know, there's not a lot of protein bars out there, if any, that tastes pretty good or really good or anything with good. And Built Bars do. And, you know, they have a bunch of different flavors. You can pretty much find anything you want in terms of flavor-wise. They're all covered in chocolate. They are healthy, you know, if you're looking to get that protein but without getting too much sugar or carbs or anything like that, or calories. These are perfect for you. They're all between 110, 170 calories or so. You get 15 to 20 grams of protein or so. Less than 5 grams of carbs and sugar. So Built Bars are great, and you should go get some, especially if you are looking for a protein bar to, you know, get into your life. And right now you can get $10 off your first box at builtbar.com. You just use the promo code Locked On. That's builtbar.com, promo code Locked On for $10 off, and keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right, Jeff. So we've been saving this what if. We knew the what ifs were 2 weeks, and we had this one kind of in our back pocket in case we weren't able to find anything to fill our time. We have enough stuff to fill some episodes, but we might as well get this one out of the way as it concludes our 2 weeks of what ifs. But before we get into the big one, I know we left off some big ones ourselves that we didn't want to really touch on since they've been touched on, but of the ones we left off, what's your biggest what if?
Yeah, I mean, Pedro Martinez is always a big one. You know, the Dodgers trading Pedro for Delino DeShields, that one is really hard to swallow still, even though at the time it wasn't a bad trade. It was an established, really good second baseman for a prospect relief pitcher, basically. But yeah, sure. Looking back in time at that one is definitely hard to swallow.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest one in everyone's minds and when it comes to it. So, but we had a what if that's even bigger than that, and that's what if the Dodgers never moved to Los Angeles? They stayed in Brooklyn. And this one has obviously a lot of implications. We might not even be here if that was the case. But Jeff, I'll let you kick it off.
Yeah, you and I are both Dodger fans by birth and by geography. And so the fact is, my family, the Snyder family, became Dodger fans when the Dodgers moved to Los Angeles. My dad's family lived in La Puente, which is, you know, right outside of LA, and they immediately became Dodger fans. And so I was born into that. When my mom and my dad met and got married, my mom didn't care about baseball, but she became a baseball fan and a Dodger fan. Some people's moms have the decency to be Dodger fans, Vince. And so it is just, that's what I was born into. And so the thing that scares me the most is my Uncle Jim. You know Uncle Jim.
He bought me a hat.
Yep, he sent you a hat. He sent both of us hats. He's a listener of this show, even though he is a Giants fan. And he comes by it honestly. Uncle Jim was born in 1949. His earliest baseball memory is Willie Mays making the catch in the World Series in 1954. There was no team in California, and so there was no team for him to naturally be a fan of. And he saw that catch, and Willie Mays became his favorite player, and he became a Giants fan. And he has been a Giants fan his whole life, even though his kids grew up Dodger fans because they grew up in Southern California, and all their cousins and grandparents and everybody were Dodger fans, and they did it right. They're Dodger fans, but Uncle Jim is still a Giants fan. And my dad, when he was young, was also a Giants fan because his big brother was a Giants fan. It wasn't till later that my dad realized the error of his ways and became a Dodger fan. But I think if the Dodgers hadn't moved to LA, my dad never would have seen the light, and I probably would have grown up a Giants fan, which is like the opposite of the end of the spectrum. It's one thing to think about, oh man, I might have been a Cardinals fan, but to be a Giants fan, and that probably would have been my fate.
Yeah, that would have been a interesting fate for you. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest part is I am a Dodger fan based on geography, and almost everyone in the family is a Dodger fan other than my mom, and one of her brothers is an Angels fan. And that's my worry, is that I would have been an Angels fan because they would have been, you know, closest in proximity. My grandpa's a big Dodger fan now, but I don't think he was, I don't know how big he was into baseball back then. So it might have waited until my dad and my uncles were, you know, kind of forming their fandom. And if the Angels were the only team out of here, I might have been, you know, an Angels fan. It's easy for me to say right now that I would have maybe went independent and tried to find a different team, but I can't say that for sure. Who knows? The Angels, you know, I don't know how it would have been. But yeah, it definitely would be weird not being a Dodger fan, and it definitely, you know, would have been a interesting dynamic if they never moved. You know, if they never move, the Mets came after the Dodgers left, right?
Yeah, the Mets were basically a makeup for the Dodgers and Giants leaving. They came 4 years later, and that's why the Mets colors are blue and orange. It's Dodger blue and Giant orange.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe the Mets aren't formed. There's a team in maybe another city, and or maybe the Dodgers end up moving somewhere else, not to Los Angeles. There's a lot of different parts of it, but just, you know, based on the East and the general specifics, we probably wouldn't be here talking to each other right now, which is pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's a lot of different reasons that they might not have moved, and all of those have different alternate realities. You know, if everything was the same except just the Dodgers aren't in LA, then yeah, I probably would have been an Angels fan. I went to plenty of Angel games growing up. Angel Stadium was easier to get to than Dodger Stadium for me. I just wasn't an Angel fan because what's the point, you know? If you're going to be a baseball fan, do it right. And so, but yeah, I probably would have been an Angel fan or a Padre fan growing up if they were both available. Both of them, their stadiums were closer to me than Dodger Stadium was. And so, you know, that's a possibility. There was a really cool article on MLB.com. I don't know if you saw it last week that Mike Petriello wrote about the fact that the St. Louis Browns almost moved to LA. Did you read that? It is really, really interesting because they were planning on moving to LA by themselves. The Dodgers got the Giants to come to California with them to help with the travel and everything. The Browns were just going to move on their own. They had worked out a deal with an airline. They were going to be the first team to travel by air, or at least regularly by air. And they had it all worked out, and they had approval, kind of verbal approval from all the owners. And the vote was set to take place on December 8th, 1941, that morning. Well, 12 hours or so before the vote was scheduled, word came down that Pearl Harbor had been attacked, and they still took the vote the next morning, but all the teams, including the Browns, voted against it because they all said this is not the time to be moving a franchise. We're about to be entering World War II. And so if it wasn't for that, you know, if Pearl Harbor had been attacked 2 days later, the Los Angeles Browns might have been the team that we grew up rooting for. You know, that Cal Ripken is my favorite player of all time. He might have been a Los Angeles Brown instead of a Baltimore Oriole, where what the Browns eventually did become. So that's a really interesting alternate reality scenario, or just the idea of there not being any baseball on the West Coast. You know, just if everything had stayed. I mean, when the Dodgers moved, the Cardinals, I think, were the closest team to LA, and you and I maybe would have grown up without a team to root for, or the Pacific Coast League might have still been pretending to be a major league.
Yeah, there's a lot of different possibilities. Other possibilities is, you know, maybe LA doesn't get a team, and or they get an expansion team, and you know that's the team we end up rooting for, or whatever the case. I mean, if I just go based on maybe the Dodgers weren't around, and I wasn't kind of born into it, probably would have been, you know, just based on my timeline when I was growing up and the teams that I liked, it would have been probably the Mariners or Indians, because the, you know, mid to late 90s versions of both of those teams have a lot of my favorite players and were really fun to watch. So, you know, taking it on that side of it, yeah, I probably would have been an Indians and Mariners fan in that case.
Yeah, or for that matter, you might just be a football and basketball fan.
Yeah, that's also true. You know? Yeah.
That's I don't know what I would have done because I don't care about those other sports. And I think my family, my dad's parents, and I think they were all baseball fans even before they had a team locally. And so hopefully I would have at least grown up a baseball fan. But yeah, you know, we think about being Dodger fans. It's, you know, I always say baseball is the most important, unimportant thing in my life. You know, I recognize that baseball in the grand scheme of things doesn't matter. If I had to choose between the Dodgers and my family, obviously I'd take my family. But baseball is a big deal. And, you know, you and I, and I think most of our listeners, there's some little part of our identity that is tied in with being a Dodger fan. You know, there's not many capital letters that I identify with. You know, I'm a registered unaffiliated voter because I don't believe that the capital D or the capital R is represents me well enough for me to claim it. You know, I'm very careful about what capital letters I claim, but the Dodgers are one of them. You know, and that little thing that tickles the back of your brain when you hear your name. I say, "Hey, Vince," and you know, your brain says, "That's me. I'm Vince." I feel that same way when I hear the word Dodgers. I think, "That's me. I'm Dodgers." And it's weird and sad to think about an alternate reality in which that is not the case, because I like being a Dodger fan, and I feel like my life is better because I'm a Dodger fan.
Yeah, and I look good in blue.
You look good in everything, though, Vince. You know, but nobody looks good in orange.
Exactly, nobody. But yeah, it's a you know, interesting topic to bring up. One that I don't think I've ever thought about that. Like, you know, what if the Dodgers never moved to LA? But it is funny, like with Los Angeles, like my two favorite teams, like the Dodgers and Lakers, both have names based on their original cities.
Yeah,
had nothing to do with Los Angeles.
Yeah, lots of Lakers there, lots of lakes there in LA. Hey, I live close to the Utah Jazz, so I get it.
yeah, exactly. Okay, Jeff, this was fun to talk about and not so fun to talk about at the same time. So you got anything else before we head out for the weekend?
No, this was fun. The what ifs are fun. We will be back next week with getting back on the obscure former Dodgers, at least for a little while. And we're putting together a Dodger trivia tournament that we'll do here on the show. So if any of you listeners are interested in being in the trivia tournament, being on the show, do a Jeopardy style, three players in each episode, and then a tournament of champions. So we'll do a total of four episodes with nine trivia players. So if you're interested, shoot me a DM and we'll get you set up. I'm working on the questions right now.
Yeah, there you go. Sign up. I know Jeff has, he laid me on me one of the big questions that was super interesting. So yeah, Jeff's really good at trivia, and you guys can be featured on the show. So that's fun. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't already done so, and do so on Apple if you haven't already done so. Make sure to listen and download and listen every day. Hopefully we're part of your new routine if you have a new routine, or hopefully we're still part of your old routine if you kept your old routine. Spread by word of mouth, I guess is what I want to say. Tell your friends, tell your family, post about us, tweet about us, all that good stuff. We are on Twitter and Instagram at LockedOnDodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. You can also call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-5625 or shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB. We'll talk to you on Monday.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bonzo!